powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Peter 3, verse 10, page 21 of your notes. 2 Peter 3, 10. All right, let's take the customary time to check ourselves and see if we're here with the right mental attitude, that we are indeed in fellowship and ready to go through this verse and take in the information that is in it. Let us pray. Once again, Heavenly Father, we assemble ourselves together in obedience to your word so that we can grow in grace and knowledge and overcome the corruption that is so prevalent in the cosmos. Bless this Bible class to that end in Christ's name. Amen. Vision and the fiery end. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. But the day of the Lord, the word will come is a future indicative of heko, which means to come, arrive, of persons, to happen, of events. But the day of the Lord, this is technical, by the way, day of the Lord will come like a thief. We get our word kleptomaniac from this. It's kleptes, the noun thief. The day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which, that's the time frame, day of the Lord. Many things happen in the day of the Lord. To understand all that's happening in the day of the Lord, one has to be a student of Scripture, and that includes the book of Revelation and the details found therein. In which the heavens will pass away with a roar. The heavens is plural. The heavens will pass away with a roar. The adverb here, go to the word pass away. Future indicative of par erkomai, means to pass by, pass away, with a roar. We have an adverb that only occurs here in the New Testament. It is of a noise indicating sudden and violent movement. It is translated in our version with a roar. Horizondon, I think that's how you pronounce it. In which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat. And the elements. This is a nominative neuter plural noun, stoikaion, which means first principle, if you're dealing with a subject, rudiment, fundamental, element, what belongs to a basic series in any field of knowledge. The basic. In geometry, the axioms. In philosophy, the givens. Used of the legalistic element common to all religions in Galatians 4, 3 and 4. Of the ABCs of Christianity, Hebrews 5, 12. Here of the elements in the periodic table. Elements. And the elements, if you're familiar with the periodic table, with the different elements that make it up, it's legitimate. They will be destroyed with intense heat. Will be destroyed is a future passive indicative, luo. Luo means to set free, release, loose. And the elements will be, and here, released, which means destroyed, with intense heat. Present passive participle, kauzao. Kauzao means to be consumed by heat, also at 3:12 in this chapter. It's already noted there. It says, when the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the, Yeah, it's also in 3:12 coming up. Sorry. And the earth, this covers everything, and the earth, gay, the earth, and its works, ergon. All of the things that are on the earth at the time of this destruction. All the earth, that's the physical earth, and its works will be burned up. Works is ergon. Works in it, literally. The locative of autos with the preposition in. In it will be burned up. The actual words here will be is the future passive indicative of eurisko, to find something. There is the reading katakaio, to burn up. So we'll leave it like that. One. Although the Lord's return is delayed in God's patience, and the prophetic timetable both are not inexhaustible. The day will come. It is called, and it's technical, the day of the Lord. Obviously, it involves a lot of time once it's set in. It officially begins with a rapture. That's the day of the Lord. It officially begins with the rapture of the church and the onset of the seven-year tribulation, 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 9. Believers in the early church were briefed on this. Now, obviously, there was more information to come. The New Testament was in formation. So there's more information. And, of course, the capstone is the book of Revelation, which these believers to whom this was written, they didn't have that. This came late in the century and required a lot of thinking and study to begin to put it together. This isn't some automatic thing like figuring out the way of salvation real easy. 1 Thessalonians 5. Now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. They were up to grade where they were at that time. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. A thief does not announce his appearance. So we'll use a negative, something bad, a thief who covers under the cover of darkness for his target. While they are saying peace and security or safety, then destruction will come suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. I used to think that referred to the entire human race. I no longer think that. I think that refers to Americans. See, this was inspired before all this other was put in. So the surprise comes because when people step into the tribulation, they're not going to be, they might be wanting peace and security, but I think it has to do with America's prominent role in it, and something will happen, and there will be the threat of nuclear war and annihilation, and they'll have a fake breakthrough and say, it's okay now. That's not going to happen. Because you got to know that right after the rapture, there is the announcement early on with regard to the destruction of the United States, so that those who are positive and willing can get out of here and be in the directive will of God and not stay here and be destroyed and not be in the will of God. Americans that are here after the rapture who get saved, and then they've got to go through the trauma of the tribulation, and their first move, if you're a Jewish Christian in America, of course you're going to head to Israel. But you, brethren, and that would be first century Christians, are not in darkness, that day would overtake you like a thief. Now, they all died. They've all passed by the scene all these centuries, right? But they had to still be prepared so that they would not be caught up in the cosmos. And for you're all sons of light and sons of the day. We're not of night nor of darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do. That's spiritual sleep. Out of it. Clueless. Like so many Christians today. You come here so you can stay awake spiritually and have your antenna up and be seeing and hearing things. And getting it right. If you read the lead article in All Israel News today, if you haven't, go read it. Israel has destroyed Assad's military. He left 48 hours after he fled the country. This genocidal ruler who had killed tens of millions of his own people, and his group was a minority, and they ruled over them, and Israel came in there with these airstrikes, took out their navy, took out something that's supposed to be illegal among the nations, chemical weapons, and all their other big military stuff. They destroyed it. 250 to 300 separate airstrikes were delivered on Syria and Damascus. And he went off into Wherever'sville, leaving his palace with all this stuff in it that he got as a result of his tyranny over the different groups that lived within Syria, the Druze, the Christians, the Muslims, and whatever. I had another real good article sent to me, a historical background for the Middle East, going back to around World War I, when Britain and England arbitrarily divided these countries up and did this in this area there. And then, of course, out of that eventually came the birth of Israel. The Balfour Declaration that got started the ball rolling, and then of course later Israel becomes a nation. But these were hodgepodge groups, and so this country was tyrannized by him. He lived the high life. He had this elaborate palace that he had to flee, and the people came in there and were plundering his stuff. Underground prisons that are unspeakable that they got into. That people had been in these dark holes in the ground all this time. And people coming and see if their relatives were still alive. This was a monster. Anyway, I just want you to take a look at that. So that the new anti-Semitic rulers of Syria, they don't have the big weapons apparently. They just got sidearms and things like that. They don't have the big ones. The Jews went in there and took out Assad's military, all of it, the way I read the article. We'll see. And all they can do is run their anti-Semitic Muslim mouths about how they're going to destroy Israel. And of course, I always think of the verse, those that curse Israel, they'll be cursed. And they're just as stupid as the rest of them. So, for you're all sons of the light and sons of the day. Believers living through the centuries had the Bible. They could have, if they had the right teachers, they could have had a read on the future. We're not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night. That's normal. And those who get drunk at night. That's the norm. There are exceptions. We're dealing with the norm. Drunk means you're under the influence. And here it's metaphorical for being under the influence of cosmos viewpoint, whether it's religious or any other type viewpoint, marching to the tune of the cosmos. It's all around us. And of course, this time of year, they're all wrapped up in a supposed celebration of Christ's birth and Santa Claus. I told someone outside the church this week, I can't get excited about the birth of Christ in December. Thank you very much. He wasn't born in December. And I've told you this numerous times, I think. The Romans would have never done a census in the winter. You know how they had to travel back then? It is cold. You want to get out on the Mediterranean Sea? No. They wouldn't do that. They were in that sense, they were intelligent and reasonable rulers. They wanted their census. And I don't know offhand how often they did. Surely they didn't do it every year. I said, it couldn't occur. And I said, and the shepherds were out in the field with their sheep. And that wouldn't be, they'd have them housed in real cold weather. Think, this was made up by dummy Christians who were placating the pagans who wanted to have their Saturnalia's event, decorating evergreens with things and feasting and all the rest. And here we are. But we got all these dummy holidays. And look at the people running around like chickens with their heads cut off. My joke to Maranatha Church, the candlelight service has been canceled due to a lack of interest. What are you going to do? Ritual without reality? That's all it is. Then I told the person when Christ was born. What time of year? It figures they got that wrong, made it a tradition. But since we are of the day, let us be sober. Having put on the breastplate of faith, we walk by faith and love. Love toward God and love towards each other. And as a helmet, a critical item in the infantry of the Roman soldier. Like in football, you've got to have a helmet on. Even then you can be injured in the head. So the helmet, you got to be assured of your salvation and understand the details about it. Many Christians don't. They don't know if they're saved. They don't know all the mess that's out there. Everything from the doctrine of eternal security to all the rest of it. The breastplate of love and faith and the helmet, the hope of salvation. Now here is a verse to document that we're not going through one day of the tribulation. There are those who teach that we're going to go through half of it or whatever. We expect this. For God has not destined us for wrath. This wrath is used in a variety of ways in the Bible. Everything from divine discipline over the believer to judgment on nations. And it's technical for the day of the Lord. That part of the day of the Lord, that is where the wrath falls on the nations. The seven-year trib, the second advent, and the judgment of the nations, the survivors of the trib. But obtaining a deliverance through our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is used in a variety of ways, and it is used of an ordinary deliverance from something to phase one salvation, two, being delivered from the day of the Lord because of the rapture. We're jerked out of here. For a deliverance, the way I would translate that, through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, good Christians, bad Christians, the ones that are awake and alert because they're in the right kind of church, and those who are asleep, they'll be taken too. Whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are also doing. Paul got reports about these believers. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 and following as well. There's some really good prophetic stuff in the Thessalonian letters. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 12. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, rapture, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by spirit, demonic influence, or a message, or a letter as if from us. This is the kind of tricks these people played. They write these churches letters and say it was from Paul. So he had to deal with that mess. What he finally had to do was he had to put a kind of type of a signature at the end of each of it so you'd know it was authentic, like a stamp or something. Things we have to do because he's away from them. Or a letter as if from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. This refers to the rise of the Antichrist, who will appear on the scene the minute the rapture occurs, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship. He is not going to embrace other religions. He's not going to be favorable to any kind of other religion, whether the true faith or all the rest of it. He'll start his own religion. So he takes his seat in the temple of God, the Trib Temple, displaying himself as being God. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed. This mystery of a one world government and all that, this has been restrained. There's those that have been pushing for it. But it has been frustrated. I could give a quick example. They tried to get the equivalent of the United Nations in place after World War I. It failed. The League of Nations. The U.S. didn't join it. And they were going to center it in Europe. And the same kind of elite types was pushing for this. Anyway. Only he who now restrains, that's the Holy Spirit, will do so until he is taken out of the way. When does that happen? Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is the one whose coming is accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders. They'll put on a big show for people. And with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. They didn't jump on the gospel thing right off at the beginning or later. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. So, it officially ends with the dissolution of the universe, as we call it, the world. I don't know what I think of that word anymore, but we'll keep it here for now. And the great white throne judgment, 2 Peter 3:10. When that's all over, in between the rapture and the dissolution are the Trib, Second Advent, Millennium, Gog and Magog Revolution, and the final incarceration of Satan in the lake of fire. The period is just over 1,000 years in duration. I don't have the exact amount. Immediately following the day of the Lord is the day of God, or the eternal state. Christ will create a new heavens and earth, different but similar, and he will turn the kingdom over to his Father, and we will enter the day of the Lord, the day of God, as it is referred to, or the eternal state. That's the day of God mentioned coming up in verse 12, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. That's what you have at the end of the book of Revelation with the new earth and its makeup. Immediately following the day of the Lord is the day of God, or the eternal state. 9. The day of the Lord will come upon mankind as a thief in the night. That is, with the surprise of nocturnal robbery. They're going to be caught flat-footed. So many people out there are going to be caught so flat-footed. Even a bunch of these evangelical Christians that ought to know better, that tend to downplay the significance of what's going on in the world. They don't have the USA in prophecy. That's major. It's not something you can just have or not have. You think they're going to get up and talk about that? Even these ones that sound pretty good on certain topics and believe that Israel's there because of divine mandate and blah, blah, blah. No. And they're without excuse. They had all this time to figure this out. The doctrine of the U.S. and prophecy. They should have been figured. Maybe somebody out there does, but it's not widespread. I haven't gone searching on who do you think the Antichrist is online. I don't do that. But they ought to have figured that out. I figured it out on my own. That was one thing I figured out without anybody else's help. I just was troubled by some verses in Revelation 17, and I just sat down one day and let them say what they say. And I came to the quick conclusion. The most famous man of antiquity in a military capacity and a ruler of those kingdoms was Alexander the Great. The historians, everybody, it's him. Alex will be back. The minute we're out of here, he will also be raised along with the false prophet. And the two witnesses also, Moses and Elijah, will be raised and put wherever their bodies are. They will be put in that area where John the Baptist started his ministry, because they minister to Israel. They're preparing Israel for the coming of the Lord. In that first 3.5 years before they are martyred, and then 3 days later, like Jesus, raised from the dead, right in front of everybody. That's all in Revelation. This motif of a thief is found in 1 Thessalonians, as we noted, 5, 2, and 4. Revelation 16, 5. Compare Revelation 3, 3, where it's used in a different context. So here's something that's bad. A thief is used in a good way, in the sense that the idea is that people will lose unexpectedly those things that are dear to them, including their immortal souls and the tribulation. Many will happily turn to the Lord, even though they will suffer great loss in the physical realm. And you have, of course, heard this before, that you and I have to be willing to forego anything that gets in the way of our spiritual momentum. You hear me loud and clear? Anything that gets away, a person, a relationship, a pursuit, anything that would drag you down. Don't join those that are so many that we have seen personally who have succumbed. I guess they didn't sit there and think this through. They didn't think it through. What if? What if this happened to me? Am I going to stay true to the truth? If my spouse goes south, God forbid, what am I going to do? Follow him or her or my kids or whoever it is? No. I didn't come here and engage in this for people, in the sense of no matter what. I'm here to teach those that want to be taught and are going to stay the course. Thirteen, the words "in which" refers back to the day of the Lord. It is during this designated era that the heavens and earth will be done away with. Okay, you have these different things going on in the day of the Lord. You have this period of judgment and wrath alongside evangelism and all the rest of it. In this period described in the Bible, in Daniel, it's described in Daniel as there's never been a time like it, and there'll never be a time in the future that will compare to what's coming down in the 7-year tribulation to the human race. The plan of God remains the same. People everywhere will get the message. But the nations, and like they always do, will tend to revolt against it and follow the Antichrist or whatever they follow. It is during this designated era that the heavens and the earth will be done away with. Actually, it is just before the terminus ad quem, finishing time of something, Latin, of the era which is the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment, Revelation 20:11. The terminus ad quo is the starting point of the era, the rapture of the church. As I told this person, what I've told you, I don't know if they're a believer or not. We talk about other stuff. Well, I told him, this is what's going to happen when the rapture hits. If I was sitting where I'm sitting right now, all my clothes will fall to the floor intact. Shirt buttoned, shoes tied, etc. And I'll jump and I'll be up in a resurrection body. I'll be age 35. You think I'm crazy? I'll be dressed, and I didn't say this part, and I'll go right through that roof and won't tear up nothing. Boom! And if you want to go visit a cemetery, some of them are going to be a real mess. Dirt all out on this, but these are all intact. Well, those aren't unbelievers. They won't find our remains. They won't be in that coffin. A ring or some rotting clothes maybe, but and I don't care if the body has been scattered to the four winds, lost in the ocean, eaten up by animals, blown up by an explosion. It doesn't matter. God knows where all the elements are, and He'll pull it all together. It's just as easy for Him to resurrect millions as it is one person. I was telling someone, we were talking about the resurrection of Christ, and I said, did you also know that at that time, certain people were raised from the dead and came out of their tombs in Israel? People that were, not people way back, but people close that the contemporaries would have known them. So if someone comes knocking on your door, and it's your relative or your friend, in their regular body, whoa, certain tombs were opened. This is the kind of evidence the Jews had when all this went down. I think it's in Matthew. Anyway, so the end of the original creation in Genesis 1:1 will be with a big bang. There's your big bang. Associated with intense heat. He could do it any other ways, just blip and it's gone. But no. As I told you before, the entire human race will witness this event. Because all the unbelievers will be raised from the dead to come before the white throne judgment. And we'll all be there. And we won't be on the earth because it's going to be wiped out. And you got to get the unbelievers' bodies out of there too. A resurrection to damnation and the resurrection to life. You have to get them. They're all raised from the dead at the after the Gog and Magog event and stuck out, suspended out here. And then we all have a front row seat and we watch our earth that we lived on, however long, we watch it go by the wayside. And it'll be noisy and it'll be with intense heat. That's what your Bible says that Earth 1 is destined for. So the earth will pass away means cease to exist as per those verses. The atoms which form the elements, the various elements, will be destroyed. The earth itself and all its works made up of these elements. The millennium will be a big deal. They will build cities. They'll have all kinds of cool stuff. It's all gone. It's all taken out. It's a complete start over. The only thing you can say that we're bringing over to the other side is our physical bodies in a resurrection form. That's it. It's all gone. So for all these people that put all their emotions and hopes on physical things, they'll pass away. One, we know they can't take them with them. Well, they could bury them and throw gold in their tomb. Or like the Egyptians did, kill some of their animals so you can have a pet in the afterlife. All this ludicrous stuff. So, the stars will pass away with a roar. All of it. The earth will pass away, means cease to exist. Man's works and God's works will pass from the scene in a sort of reverse ex nihilo, out of nothing. Man's works refer to human culture, civilization, art, technology, etc. It's all gone. The gleaming products of millennial civilization will be no more. And they'll be fantastic. Because in the millennium, you won't have criminal elements embedded in governments. You won't have all this stuff going on. You'll have true freedom. No one will be given an advantage because of their birth or anything else. This includes the works of nature, of nature's God as well. It's all gone. The exceptions will be all humanity and their resurrection bodies along with the angels. The lake of fire will not disappear as it is the final abode of the fallen angels and unregenerate humanity. This doctrine is also found in the following passages that you can look up on your own if you are so inclined. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.